You thought we'd start the show off like that? Birdland BS. Check it out. What's up, Birdland BSers? Episode 36, Fred and Ryan here. We are in that awkward transition, Ryan, between football and baseball, but pitchers and catchers have finally reported in Sarasota. So a little bit exciting.
All three pitchers.
Well, after news today, we actually have four. Looks to be actually a starting rotation. Which we'll get into that in a little bit. But how you been, man? It's been a couple weeks.
Dude, I've been I think I had a stomach bug. It's always fun puking.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Saturday morning, I get up, I'm in the basement, I'm like clearing it out, cleaning it up a little bit, and then all of a sudden, I was feeling a little like, I don't know what it was, like nauseous, kind of like an achy back, and I'm like, what the crap? So nothing really is happening, and then I go through the whole day and I'm just feeling a little off, and then I go to bed and I wake up like at 10 o'clock and run in the bathroom, and it's like blah. But it was chilly, so fun. Chilly and some other stuff, but I feel like I'm over it. So that was fun, and then other than that, man, I guess it's – I really couldn't tell you. Just the work grind and all the normal stuff that goes with making a living and having a family. Nothing out of the ordinary for me. Still losing weight, so I'm
– Yes, sir.
I'm down like 35 pounds.
Good job, man.
So I'm still doing that and staying on schedule. But other than that, man – I'm just happy to be healthy today, man. It ruined my weekend, so.
Yeah, no, I had the same thing kind of happen to me right after we recorded, like 2 weeks ago. So, went to dinner one night and literally just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm sitting at the dinner table and all of a sudden my nose starts running. I'm like, why the hell is my nose running? Like, I didn't feel bad at all. And then all of a sudden I got home, I started getting the shakes and not feeling good and weak feeling and whatnot, and I'm still a little congested from it or whatever, but it took about a week before that, you know, I started actually feeling any better. So it's definitely going around, man, so I feel for you. It's no fun. I know this year with the flu, it's been a nasty virus. It's been killing people left and right, so it's for all you sickies out there, don't take it lightly, man. Go get that stuff checked out. It can be serious.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, I think I'm done with it. I got through it. I didn't do anything yesterday, though. I literally stayed in the house and laid.
It'll put you on your ass, man. That's for sure.
I just didn't want to. I was like, I'm just going to get rest and then sit on the toilet most of the day. But
probably better off.
Yeah. We live the life, man. Me and you, we great stories every week.
Yeah, man. It's been a pretty blah 2 weeks for me as well.
People are gonna listen to the show to make themselves feel better, be like, yeah, I'm feeling down, let me listen to what Fred and Ryan did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just when you think life is terrible, nope, these two have it worse. Nah, it's just not a very exciting couple of weeks. I did get a chance to do an interview with fellow podcasters,
Trader
Section 336. Yeah, I thought it was kind of a cool episode, man. They reached out, they put together a conglomerate of a bunch of us from the local podcast scene, just getting a vibe and taking a poll basically on the feeling of the latest Andrew Cashner signing. What was the latest signing at the time? And it's a lot of positive vibes, I think, from it. Moral of the story was, you know, that's just a small signing in on a team that needs a lot of help, especially from the starting pitching side. So we'll go ahead and dive right into this, man. All right. As we said, I mean, it's been 2 weeks, so we got a few things to get caught up with. Orioles have reported first with two starting pitchers in the rotation, and recently signed Andrew Cashner to a 2-year, $16 million deal. What was your initial reaction to the signing?
I think I sent you a text. I was trying to do, like, I watched the Emoji Movie, and they had, like, the meh, meh.
Yeah.
I was like, where is this
Emoji? That's how I took it.
So I was like, you know, no big deal. I'm glad they signed someone. I mean, you look at the guy's stats, it's nothing remarkable, but I guess he is a starter.
that he is.
I really don't know much about the guy. I don't even think his record's over 500 for his career, wins and losses.
No.
So, nothing amazing, but, I mean, he could change the scenery. A lot of different things could happen if I want to be an optimist about it. He could be a good fit here and pitch really well. I mean, we see it with pitchers that leave here all the time. They go and they win the Cy Young Award or something like that. So,
right.
We can be hopeful, but I'm not really mad at it at all. I'm glad they did something, and he's not the worst option out there, obviously.
Right.
I really don't know enough about the guy to say – he's definitely wasn't on my radar. He's not like a huge free agent pickup or free agent signing. So it's not something I'm like, oh, man, that's an awesome move. I mean, if you read the forums out there, the Facebook comments, you know, people aren't real impressed with any of the signings thus far. So,
yeah,
I don't know. What's your take? Because, I mean, what did you say on this other show?
Well, yeah, I mean, so basically what I told them, and it's still true to this, you know, to now, you know, look, I'm not going to tell anybody to go out and buy World Series tickets over this move, but here's the thing. You can't really pay a whole lot of attention to his record, his career record. I mean, he played for the Padres a good portion of his career and the Marlins for a good portion of his career. So he was on some teams that struggled to hit the ball. A couple things that I'll look at when a pitcher decides to pitch here in Baltimore is obviously his ERA. And his ERA specifically against the AL East. His overall ERA last year was in like the mid 3.4 something. But against the AL East, he was in the mid twos. So, you know, that's the bulk of our games there. So that's encouraging. Another thing is, I mean, he's ninth in the league last year, ground ball to fly ball ratio, which in a small ballpark like Camden Yards, you're going to want a ground ball pitcher. The comparison I kind of made on the other show was Scott Erickson, not saying that he is a Scott Erickson, but Scott Erickson was a ground ball pitcher that did pretty well at Camden Yards, high threes, low four ERA. And, you know, I mean, at this point, when you look at what we had last year from the bottom three pitchers of our staff, right, between Miley, Ubaldo, and Tillman, it's definitely a step in the right direction. You know, I mean, we talked about it in length. You know, we only had two starters coming into this year, and for a 2-year, $16 million deal, $8 million a year, it's really low risk, low cost. You know, like I said, it's not the big name that, you know, some people want and are hoping for. And, you know, I'm still holding out hope for, you know, a win or are they a Lynn or a Cobb. But I think, like I said, I think it's a step in the right direction. You know, they still have got some more holes that they need to fill. But, you know, I mean, it's a positive signing, in my opinion. It's better, like you said, better than what we had last year, better than what we currently have now. So, again, I just think it's a step in the right direction.
It's real hard to pull a positive out of this, but
yeah,
you can tell we're trying.
Right.
I mean, I'm glad they're making a move. That's all I can really say. And then today, before the podcast, obviously they made the announcement that Chris Tillman was signed to a 1-year deal, which it sounded like he was using the facilities or was authorized to use the facilities and everything prior to spring training. And it sounded like this was going to happen way ahead. It's just a matter of time. I guess he tried out with, was it the Lions?
Tigers.
Tigers. Yeah. Jeez.
Wrong sport.
Welcome back. Right. Yeah. So, you know, what's your takes on that one? What's your take? What's your takes, huh? You like that? I'm getting them all in, man.
I'll give you one. I can't give you two, but I'll give you one take. Now, I think another good bargain move. You figure, you know, when you look at what Tillman did last year, it's an anomaly. I mean, when you look at the bigger workings of his entire career, he's been a, you know, a high 3, low 4 ERA kind of guy. Last year, he struggled. Last year, he was hurt. You know, and you get him back on a, you know, determined kind of attitude, you know, where he's out to prove himself with a chip on his shoulder. He's healthy. We know he can be productive. And if Bundy and Gausman can make the next step, like, you know, we're all hoping that they do, and you put him in the third or fourth slot in the rotation where he's not going up against everybody's best week in and week out. $3 million, you know, it's very low money for a starting pitcher of his, you know, of his caliber, when he's at his best. Now, granted, it could pay up to $10 million with incentives, but that means he's got to pitch well. And if he's pitching well, then the $10 million is well worth it. So, you know, again, I'd rather him be in the rotation than trying to fill the last two spots of the rotation with some of these younger guys. You know, I want to see some of these younger guys get a shot, but at the end of the day, I'd rather see them battle it out for maybe one rotation spot versus two rotation spots. So anytime you can bring a veteran back into the mix at that low of a, you know, of a cost, it's, to me, it's a no lose situation.
So you almost feel like you got four of your five rotation spots locked in, regardless right. of where everybody falls. So you kind of create a more competitive environment for that last spot for the guys that are really fighting for it down in spring training. So maybe you get a little bit more out of those guys now that they're like, oh shit, these spaces are filling up. I'm going to have to push that much harder to get to it.
Right, exactly. It's not like we have any young guys that are beating down the doors to take the roster spot. We're just put in a situation where we have lack of starting pitching, so they have to be kind of ready. You know, we've had the Mike Wright experience already. I personally don't think that guy will ever amount to a starting pitcher at the major league level. He might be a long relief kind of guy down the road. You know, somebody who can fill in some extra innings on days where, you know, we're not at our best. I can see him filling that kind of role, but I don't want to see him as a starting pitcher. Hunter Harvey's still a ways away. You know, he's got to come back. Yeah, he's got to come back and prove that he's healthy, and prove that he can pitch 120, 130 plus innings in a year. So he's still, in my opinion, another year away. You know, they've got a few guys down there that they've got some hopes for. Jose Mesa Jr. and Nestor Cortez. So, I mean, they've got some young arms. But, like I said, nobody that's beating down the door. I hope, and from what I've heard from, you know, some rumblings on Twitter through some of the beat writers for the Orioles, that Dan Duquette said that they're not done signing starting pitching. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they're going to go out and make a big splash and sign, you know, an Alex Cobb or, you know, one of these guys? But, Jake Arrieta is still sitting out there. You know, I know he's got a lot of familiarity here in Baltimore. Things didn't end maybe as well as he would have liked. But
is that even like a rumor at this point?
No, it's not a rumor. But I mean, the thing is, he's still out there and guys like Chris Tillman are signing deals. So eventually his price tag is going to have to drop down. A lot of teams are starting to, you know, fill their rosters out, and who knows? I mean, we might be able to get him later on. There's with the way the Rays are dismantling their team down there. I mean, they got rid of Longoria. Once that happened, it kind of opened the floodgates with everybody else. So Chris Archer's still sitting there. Jake Odorizzi was just basically traded for next to nothing. So, I mean, there's still some things out there that could happen. I hope they add another outfield bat. You know, I think that's something that they could use as well. And there's some talks, again, with the Rays DFAing Corey Dickerson, who the Orioles were really high on last year and the year before, trying to get him in deals with the Rockies. Guy went to the All-Star game last year. You know, he's a 25, 30 home run kind of guy. He's about a 270, 280 hitter. You put that into the lineup, you know, with one more solid pitching, you know, one more solid starting pitcher, and I think you'll start creating some buzz. I think people, you know, I'm not going to say they're going to win the division. They're never going to win the division with the Yankees being the Yankees, with the amount of money that they've spent on that team, unless they just fall apart injury-wise. That's really the only way.
There's just too much talent, man. They're just going to implode. Yeah. They're going to implode, man.
We'll see. I mean,
it's going to be like the Blue Jays a couple seasons ago or however many seasons ago. Watch.
They've got a very inexperienced skipper, you know, now with Aaron Boone as their manager down there. So he's got to steer the ship with all those personalities. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong with that team. But the big news out of today in the AL East was the Red Sox signed JD Martinez finally. I mean, that was kind of a foregone conclusion that was eventually going to happen, but then talks had broke down and he seemed to be kind of upset with some of the offers that he was getting from Boston. And there was talks that he might end up going back to Arizona. But looks like they were able to get it done. Did you get the financials on that? Or
yeah, it's a crazy deal. $110 million deal over 5 years, and he will earn $50 million in the first two seasons.
Wow.
So pretty heavy on the front end for that guy. Lucky him.
Yeah, but I want to say he was asking for like $175 you know, when he first hit free agency, so didn't quite get what he asked for. But look, I wouldn't be
I don't know, man.
I wouldn't be complaining. So
I'm happy if I'm Chris Tillman, honestly.
Yeah,
it's insane. Absolutely. I mean, just be a pitcher, Fred. That's all you got to do. Yeah,
that's right. Screw college. Be a pitcher.
I mean, go to college, but. You know, if you can make it a couple seasons, man, you can get. I mean, it's insane. $3 million, and you're making $3 million. Everybody's like, "Oh, that's a great deal." And I'm like, "Wish I could get a great deal."
Yeah, right.
But $110 million over 5 years. I mean, that's insane. It's over $20 million a year. I mean,
right. We look back on the deal that we signed for Chris Davis. You know, to keep Chris Davis here and. You know, the lack of production that we've gotten out of him from the past couple years, you know, it makes you leery when you see big contracts like that. But, you know, JD Martinez is a totally different hitter. He's a much more polished hitter, much more consistent hitter. Although, speaking of Chris Davis, there have been some rumblings that he's worked extremely hard in this offseason on some things mechanically. And mentally, wants to be more aggressive. You know, obviously there was a lot of watching strike three go by with Chris Davis last year.
Does it make it any better if you just swing at it instead of just
hey, if you're swinging, at least you got a chance. You miss 100% of the ones you don't swing at. So
yeah, that's true. But you also, you know, I don't know. I mean, I won't say anything. I'll be nice.
My thing with Chris Davis is he's worth the money if he's hitting over 40 home runs and he's hitting over 240. If he's hitting over, you know, and that's really not asking a whole lot out of somebody to hit over 240. His power, the 40 home runs, that should come just being healthy. Mm-hmm. But where he's not worth the money is when he starts doing what he did last year and hitting at, you know, around the Mendoza line, around 200. Like, that's just unacceptable.
Yeah. I remember
from a major league hitter.
A couple games, I wasn't even watching it. I was in the, I think I was getting ready to go to swimming or to the gym. I can't really remember. But it was a game, and Davis came up, and he, it was like the final out, and we had guys on, and we had a chance, and he sat up there, and he didn't swing or something, and he got out. It was just so frustrating, and I remember it happened multiple times. So I feel like a lot of these players have a conscious, I can't even talk tonight, a conscious when it comes to conscience, when it comes to how much money they make and backing that up. And I feel like he's probably one of those guys. So I do think you'll see an effort from him to be a better ball player this year. So nobody likes when the fans are talking bad about you or, you know, oh shit, Davis is coming out is coming up with two outs and a runner on, nothing's going to happen. He's going to hit a liner into the shift or something, or strike out. So I hope he performs. And it, like you said, if he just gets his average up a little bit and puts out a few more home runs, it'll be worthwhile. And
right. I mean, you figure between the production that we lost with him and the production that we lost with Mark Trumbo. I mean, Mark Trumbo struggled pretty mightily last year.
Yeah.
You know, when he first came over, guy couldn't miss the ball. I mean, he was hitting the cover off the ball. So if we can get some serious power production back to the point where the middle of the lineup actually strikes fear in some pitchers versus, let's just throw the ball over the plate and these guys are going to strike out. I mean, because that's really essentially what the team was last year. Get the ball somewhere near the plate and these guys are going to strike themselves out. Yeah, who knows? I mean, there's wild card positions for a reason. And, you know, as much as I don't think we're going to be in contention for the division, all you got to do is get in. And if you can get in, you've got a chance.
We're not much of a different team than we were 2-3 years ago.
Right.
If, like you said, Machado slumped a little bit early on in the season. Davis slumped, Trumbo slumped. I mean, you got guys like Mancini who look like they only have upside at this point. I'm not really sold on Rickard. I like a young guy with speed, but he's pretty injury prone.
Yeah.
Weird injuries too. So I don't know that they're always real. But, you know, the team in place is very similar, and I think you have some improvements. I like Beckham. Obviously, Hardy's not back, so you know, with Machado at short and Beckham at third, I have that concern over at third base where we used to have Mark Reynolds over there, and it was Air City, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, right.
So I hope Beckham does well over there, and I'm trying to be positive because I don't want to go into the season
with
a negative outlook right out the gate, because I love baseball so much and I love the Orioles. So I just kind of want to, I'm trying to have a positive outlook. Even going into this podcast, I was like, I just don't want to crap all over the Orioles and all the decisions that are being made and just how they seem to not meet our expectations every offseason.
Yeah, no, I don't think that that's what we do. I mean, we're never really one to just crap on them, but I mean, we do rightfully have our own opinions on things. And one thing I think that's going to hurt this team more than I think anybody's even talking about or anybody even realizes is the loss of Ryan Flaherty. As much as
Ron Flaherty.
Yeah, I mean, that guy was the spark plug in a sense that you could plug him in anywhere and you didn't really lose too much defensively. You know, if you needed to give Manny Machado off a night at third, you could put him at third. If you needed to give Hardy a night off at short, you could put him at short. You could put him in the outfield. I mean, you could put him anywhere on the field. And yeah, I mean, he didn't hit the cover off the baseball or anything like that. But, you know, for a guy that sits for a week or 2 weeks at a time, you know, without getting any at bats and then asked to come in and play two or three games in a row, you know, he filled an important role on the bench. And that's something that I don't know who's going to fill that role now. You know, now Buck's got to kind of manage his team differently. He doesn't have one guy that he can turn to for multiple things. He's going to have a couple people that take up roster spots to fill what Ryan Flaherty left. You know, we don't have that super utility. Really, the way of the super utility player has kind of gone to the wayside. You don't really see too many of them left in you know, in the big leagues. And Ryan Flaherty was kind of one of those.
Where'd he go? The Pirates?
No, he signed with the Phillies.
Phillies. And it was up there in PA. But
yeah. Yeah. So good luck to Ryan. I mean, hopefully he gets...
Well, that's a minor league deal too, right?
Yeah, but, you know, with the shot at, you know, going into camp and winning a job, and that team up there needs some help. So, you know, maybe this is his break that he needs. But, you know, he was kind of one of Buck's favorites, so I was kind of surprised just to see him go.
I think he was getting up near... He was getting a pretty big payday. I think his rate was rising year after year, so I think it was getting pretty high.
Yeah, but that's just that's a move that doesn't get talked about, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, say it's going to make or break this team or anything, but it's definitely going to have an effect.
When we did so the MLB does it, like, beat the streak every year.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? You pick, like, one or two batters every night to get hit. So, like, me and the guy at work always joke, like, if we made it to, like, 61, no matter what, we were putting Ryan Flaherty in there to beat the streak. It was just like a joke. Like you said, man, he's undervalued in some aspects. But, I mean, he's a likable guy, and he's been around here forever. So that news broke, what? It must have broke right after last episode we did, because...
Yeah, it was close to 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it feels like it was a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, that is a big loss, I think. We'll see moving forward if we have any injuries or anything, how that affects the team. And
one of the other rumors circulating around the Orioles is their interest in Colby Rasmus. One of the ugliest players in baseball. I don't know if you've ever seen this guy, but
is he a redhead?
He is hard to look at. Problem with him is he's another guy that you throw in the mix. He's a low 200 hitter. Yeah, he's got some decent pop and he's got some decent speed. You know, I say decent, not great.
He looks like a Quaker. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, there's been some flirting back and forth between those two, between the Orioles and Rasmus for years. I think something happened a couple of off seasons ago between, I don't know if it was Buck and Colby's dad or it was Dan Duquette and Colby's dad. Something happened during like a free agent visit with the team, and talks broke down really quickly after whatever happened. And he ended up signing with Houston. Guys, like I said, a low 200 hitter in his career. I think he had a decent year last year with the Rays, but you know, that was kind of in limited playing time. He was injured for part of the year. Personally, I'd rather see the Orioles give a shot to one of the younger guys. I'd rather see Austin Hayes get some more playing time. Even a Anthony Santander, I'd rather see him get more playing time than to waste the money on bringing in a Colby Rasmus. I don't think that really makes this team better. I think if they're going to do a free agent outfielder signing, I'd rather see them pull that trigger on a Corey Dickerson trade with the Rays, or Carlos Gonzalez is still out there. That might be a little bit too high of a price tag for the Orioles, but there's been some flirting back and forth between those two in years past between trade talks. And always Colorado always wants Kevin Gausman. They have like an infatuation with Kevin Gausman. So we'll see. I mean, hopefully, I think I have high hopes for Austin Hayes. I don't know what your feelings are on this kid, but he's raked through minor leagues, played pretty well in the little bit of time that he got at the end of last year. He's got a lot of upside, can play all three outfield positions. So there's that utility guy for the outfield. I think he just adds another dimension to this team, and he's going to be hungry. You know what I mean? He's going to be hungry to play as a young guy. I'd rather see them give him a shot.
Yeah, I think that's the plan too. I mean, he was at FanFest. You know, he came up late last season. I agree. I think he's there for a reason, and I think he's going to get a shot unless they bring in somebody great to fill in that void out there. Moving forward, with Jones, you know, I don't know if you heard his interview, but
I did.
It's doesn't sound like very promising as far as his future here. I mean, I just get the impression all these guys just like throw Dan Duquette under the bus, and they're basically like, hey, there's been no talks. There's been nothing. And then, you know, Jones is like, hey, I want to win. And that's what it is. It's not about money. It's about winning. And we're on the wrong side of 500. I'm not trying to quote him, but these are just some of the things I remember from what I've read.
And, right.
You know, moving forward, if at the end of this year, if you don't sign Jones to an extension, you're going to need a guy like Hayes out there to fill the void. So I feel like he'll be out there the majority of the season.
Well, that's the beauty part, I think, of free agency is somebody like Adam Jones, who's already made a good amount of money in his career. I mean, that guy's set financially. Obviously, he probably could have made more money going elsewhere, you know, earlier on in his career. And I have nothing but respect for Adam Jones and being here through the good and the bad. And, you know, this is the tail end of his contract. This will probably be the last big deal that he signs. And, you know, this guy's, he's a West Coast guy, and that's all he ever talks about is how much he loves being home in the West Coast and San Diego and that area. But he's played his entire baseball career, you know, over here in Baltimore. You become a free agent, you know, you have the ability to get picky. And at that point, if money really isn't the most motivating factor and it's getting a ring and winning a World Series, nothing wrong with going to the front office and telling them that, you know, saying, look, if you guys are going in a different direction, you guys are going through a rebuild, you guys aren't willing to spend the money to make a competitive team for the next few years, then I'm going to go elsewhere and I'm going to compete with a team that's willing to spend that extra money and go for a shot at the World Series. Because at this point in my career, that's what it's about. I've got nothing but respect for him for doing that. You know what I mean? I can't hate on the guy for doing this, much as I don't want to see him go, as much as, you know, I'd love to see him finish his career as an Oriole. Can't hate on him for wanting to win.
Well, I think he's basically putting it out on the table like, hey, I want to win. If that's not in your, you know, plans, then, you know, I won't be staying. And I think that's fair. It's just saying, hey, this is what I want, and it's my future, so I'm just going to let you know.
Right.
I respect the man a lot. He's been my favorite player for the last, I don't know, several seasons. I've always been a fan of his. It'll be a shame to see him go. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, Bucks in his last year, I think Machado, Brock, Britton, a lot of guys might go, you might have a completely different look to this team after the season if things don't change. But
could have a completely different owner after the next couple of years as well. There's been a lot of talks about things just seem to be adding up way too perfectly at the same time. Like you just went down a laundry list of them. I mean, think of all the free agents next year and Buck's contract ending next year and Dan Duquette's contract ending next year. It's like the perfect time to sell the club and have somebody come in and put their own thumbprint on the organization. Now, I can't see the Angelos family parting ways with the Orioles, because it's just too much of a financial cash cow for them. I know attendance hasn't been there, but the amount of money that they make on the TV deals and, all that stuff, it's too much of a cash cow for them to just get rid of it unless somebody really blows them away, with an offer that they just can't refuse. But I know the younger John Angelos has talked about taking the team over for years, once his father's ready to give up, control. So we'll see. That's just, like I said, something that's kind of going out there. It's just this team, if the team doesn't sell and ownership stays, there's a lot of changes coming. And yeah. This is it. This is like one last hoorah, one last go at it. Why not throw in some extra money, a little bit extra money this year, sign a couple of guys, because you're not, like you said, when you look at the roster and the breakdown of everything, we're not that far off of where we were just a couple years ago. Yeah. And you get a couple of guys like Bundy and Gausman, take that next step positive. You get Chris Davis on the swing around and he has a better, more productive year. Same thing with Mark Trumbo. Manny is Manny. Jonathan Scopes continues to be, trending upwards. Adam Jones is Adam Jones. This team is still a damn good team. A few wins here or there the other way and we're in the wild card last year. It's not that unfeasible that it could happen. So, I don't know. I'm hoping we see a couple more free agent signings here before things wrap up for the spring. But we'll see. They definitely need to at least address one more starting pitching role if they don't do anything else, with the bats. But
I'm struggling, man. I'm trying to think of something else to talk about with these guys. I'm running out of ammo.
Man, it's.
Do you have tickets for opening day? They're not even available yet, are they?
No, and it's funny you actually brought that up because that's something that I was going to talk to you about because I saw a post from Jimmy Seafood. I know Jimmy Seafood is doing like an opening day package deal. It's like $110 or something, and they're doing their tailgate. It's all catered, food, drinks, all that stuff. A lower level ticket. I don't know what section the seats are in. I just know that they're lower level. Thought maybe I would look into doing something like that versus just going down to the Pickles and hanging outside Pickles all day. Yeah. But no, I have not gotten my season ticket my opening day tickets yet. I don't even think they're on sale.
All right, I was just checking. I know we're going to go the same route we usually do, and hopefully we can get those again. But
right,
those deals don't seem too bad because you're getting a little bit more bang for your buck. Usually buy yours through a reseller or something. I think so.
Right,
usually pay a little bit more. So, like, if you can get, a free crab cake or something out of it, it's definitely a better deal.
Absolutely. Yeah, but, for sure.
I guess that's coming up. Spring training, obviously, just getting started. I don't know, man. What else do we got? Anything local? You playing softball this year? I heard you're playing softball this year.
I may get back into playing. We'll see.
we're going completely across the board on this one. You like
it? No, I just got to keep, like you said, got to keep on this this weight loss journey and get myself back on track with that. I'll have a real good week followed by a bad week, followed by a good week, followed by a bad week. I need to start putting the good weeks back together, back to back, and lose a little bit more weight. I'll feel better about myself, and maybe I'll get back out there and play. But I definitely miss it.
A little stomach bug will get you a little jump start, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true, too. That's true, too.
I don't know how much I lost, but I'm sure it helped. I didn't gain anything, that's for sure.
Right.
But I don't know, man. So it's a little early, but I mean, all these moves with the Orioles, you feel pretty confident with the starting rotation at this point, or is it still a major concern? Oh, this is something I wanted to bring up earlier with the starting rotation. They still don't have a lefty.
Yeah.
I think the only lefty in consideration is like a Rule 5 guy. I don't even know his name off the top of my head. But, you know, we always seem, even with the bats, I feel like we're always, there's like a ton of righties. And I guess it's the same with the starting rotation. They're all righties.
But, I don't know, man. I've never been a big guy to say that, like, you necessarily have to have a left-handed starting pitcher, or you have to have, you know, you got to be able to switch it up, lefty, righty, righty, lefty. But at the end of the day, if you've got five starting pitchers that can get people out, I don't give a shit if it's a right-hander or if it's a left-hander. I mean, I guess it makes sense to have one because some don't stack up against left-handers better than they do as well as they do against right-handed pitchers. I get that, but like I said, it's a 162-game season. And if you've got five pitchers in your starting rotation that can get people out, then lefty, righty, doesn't really matter. It's nice to have left-handed bullpen help because, you know, then, you know, if you get yourself into some trouble, well, then, yeah, then you can go into matchup stuff with your bullpen and that kind of thing. But when it comes to starting pitchers, I just don't see the importance behind it.
I think Buck said he'd rather have a good righty than a bad lefty.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I look at it too. You don't just throw a lefty in there just so you have a lefty for the sake of having one. You know, if you could go out there and sign somebody that's a damn good right-handed pitcher over somebody who's a mediocre left-handed pitcher, you do that all day long. So, I mean, to kind of get back to your original question, am I happy or confident in the rotation? No. It still has a lot of question marks. You know, everything that I've talked about tonight has been all based around hopes that things go in the direction that we want them to go. You know, it's not like we can say that Bundy and Gausman are coming off of career years, and if they continue that, then yeah, we're in good shape. No, we're hoping that they have career years. We're hoping that they make that next step. And it's the same thing with Tillman. We're hoping that Tillman comes back from this injury and has a big year. We're hoping this new guy, Andrew Cashner, can come in and be a ground ball pitcher and stay in his career, you know, mid 3, low 4 ERA. But those are all hopes. You know, it's all the stars got to align in the right way for, you know, it to happen. So
what do you think of that guy's haircut?
He's got a sweet beard.
Is that Does he have a mullet?
Kind of, sort of. It's
a lot going on in the back. He's wearing there is a hat a lot. When I saw him. And then there's aviators. He seems like a character.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
That was one of the things. I mean, I don't know much about the guy, but I was looking at him. I was like, what is this guy doing? It's like Joe Duarte.
Yeah.
He's a big guy, obviously, but I was like, man, this guy's got some stuff going on, man.
Kind of curious if the Orioles are going to end up making him shave it because, you know, they're kind of strict on the facial hair rules.
I don't know. They didn't make Guerrero.
Yeah.
A little lenient with him.
Yeah, no, that's true, too. So who knows? And I know I saw pictures of Chris Davis today rocking a sweet Tom Selleck stash.
Nice.
I'd give him a 9.5 for that one. That's a sweet stash he has going on right now.
I remember like when Markakis was here and it was like fan fest. Like
he looked like a homeless guy.
Yeah, he had like a big old like,
oh my god,
like poof hair, and then he had the beard,
and he had like a what do you call it, a visor on or something too, and his hair is just like poofed out of it.
A sweatband, I think.
Or yeah.
I think they should just, I mean, I have a beard, obviously, and I think it's great. So I think they should just let these guys do their thing, man.
Because,
remember the Fu Manchu with Flacco? I mean,
started a whole trend.
You got to do that kind of stuff. I mean, I hope they loosen up, man. You know, they did away with the pies. I don't know. I feel like they're killing the fun, but
yeah.
I know the whole beard thing it's old. You know, that's been around for a while, so. I thought they loosened it up a little bit, but that guy has a serious thing going on, and I don't think he would have signed knowing he's got to get rid of it. But I don't know, $10 million maybe.
I was going to say, $8 million a year will make you do a lot of things, and shaving my beard would be one of them.
So, but
we'll see, man. Like I said, there's a lot of things that got to come together right for this team to be where we want them to be at the end of the day. But look, we're 0-0 right now.
Tied for first.
Tied for first, right. We, like I said, we still got a few more weeks that some things could happen. You know, there's going to be some roster cuts and things of that nature still. You know, who knows who we could pick up, you know, just to kind of round things out. But let's hope that they can bring in one more starting pitcher and hope that they can bring in one more good bat. There's even been some talks that the Orioles might have some interest in Mike Moustakas, which would kind of change things, and that would kind of prepare for the transition of Manny leaving and going elsewhere. Because then if that happens, you put Moustakas at third, you put Manny at short, then Tim Beckham becomes your kind of super utility guy. Until Manny leaves, then you put Beckham at shortstop, and your infield's complete. So there's a lot of things out there that, you know, it's all talk. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Orioles probably won't do anything. But we'll see. There's a lot of hopes and dreams.
It all goes back to, like, you know, the winter meetings and the talks of trading Manny. And I was, like, full on board, like, hey, if you're going to trade him now. And then nothing happened. So I kind of have that bad taste in my mouth. Like, yeah, this guy's not going to make any moves that mean anything. So,
well, I just hope push comes to shove when trade deadline comes, that if we're sitting in one of those peculiar places where we're like, we're kind of in it, but we're kind of not. You got to get something for Manny. You cannot run the risk of saying, all right, we're going all in. Not win a World Series and then not get anything for Manny. He's just too valuable of a guy. He can bring back too much in a deal, and he can become too valuable to another team who is in a playoff run. I just hope that that doesn't happen. So we'll see. Got a long way to go before we get there.
Outside of baseball, not a whole lot going on. Hockey, the Caps look pretty good, but I don't even know what to talk about with them. I haven't really been following them. And then outside of hockey, you really have the Olympics, and that's about it.
Are you a Winter Olympics kind of guy, or do you like the Olympics?
Not really.
Me either.
I watched it a little bit when I was sick, sitting in bed, because I don't have cable in that room. So
right.
I just watched whatever was on. But it's... I don't know. Nothing's really catching my eye, or I don't know, man. I'm just not that into it. Some of the stuff they do is amazing, but it happens so fast and it's over.
Yeah, no. And a lot of the stuff happens at like weird times of the day and that kind of thing. Yeah. So you end up hearing about it and seeing it like secondhand. It's, I don't know.
And every time they hype somebody, like, the network will be like, the guy is a U.S. figure skater, young guy Chen, I think his name was. I may be completely wrong. It might be horrible. but, you know, they're talking about this kid, and then he goes out there and he bombs. And then a couple times, you know, USA, the U.S. team doesn't just – it doesn't seem like they're doing that well this year. It seems like their medal count's way low. And I missed the whole Sean White thing. I saw Lindsey Vonn yesterday, but that was just like a preliminary. It wasn't for a medal or anything. So it was just like qualifier. But just not that into figure skating.
Yeah, and the Winter Olympics are just not my thing. I'm not really big into the Olympics at much at all, but if I had to pick, I'm definitely more of a summer guy. I like this. I like swimming, and I like a lot of the running events, you know, the different sprints and the team events and that kind of thing. But, yeah, just not real big into the Olympics. I've never been, you know, my father kind of followed it when I was younger a little bit, but,
I mean, I would watch it, but I'm just this year, I'm not, I don't know. The time is, I think, off. Like you said, you're kind of not watching things live.
But, and with the way the social media is and internet is nowadays, it's like you hear what happened before you watch it. And
a lot of spoilers.
Yeah, just, I don't know. At that point, it takes the excitement out of it. Why do I care to watch somebody win a race that I already know is going to win? You know, it's just kind of silly to me. But, all right, man, we're getting kind of towards the end of this thing. You are on this week's 2-minute warning.
All right.
So you got material for that?
Yeah, I should have a good 2 minutes.
All right, Ryan. Well, your 2-minute warning starts now.
All right. So the NBA All-Star game is going on, or was going on a few days ago or a day ago, whatever. And the only thing I've really been hearing about is how great Fergie was with the national anthem. It sounds like she butchered it. She tried to do like a seductive version of it, and it really didn't go over well. And then Shaq said, hey, I love you. And it was sexy, and he was trying to be nice, and it's just funny. Some changes in the MLB rules for the 2018 season. Sounds like they're not going to have a pitch clock this season. But they will limit mound visits, and it sounds like there'll also be reduced inning breaks. So I guess that's in between innings. So nothing major there. And I don't really know. I don't think they make a huge difference with that. So I don't know why they're so. The games are what they are. I feel like you can't shorten baseball up. It's just it is what it is. Going back to the Super Bowl, it sounds like safety Devin McCourty says that. Malcolm Butler knew all week that he wasn't playing and that the team, everybody on the team was aware of that as well. So, sounds like it was kind of blown out of proportion by the media or the sports media, I should say. But how many weeks ago is that? That's like 3 weeks ago. So that slipped in there. Team LeBron won the NBA All-Star game last night, 148-145. And, LeBron James wins the MVP with 29 points, 10 rebounds and 8 assists. NASCAR, I know Fred's a NASCAR fan. Austin Dillon wins the 60th Daytona 500, driving the number 3 Chevy, bringing it back to victory lane. We talked about this earlier. Hosmer signs an 8-year, $144 million deal with the Padres, so good for them. Big first baseman over there. And back to the Olympics, Sean White earns
It is. Well, you didn't get it in.
Sean White had a gold, whatever, 97.75. That was good enough. I didn't have any clue how far. You didn't show me a clock, or if you
did. Yeah, it was. I was holding it up.
You're frozen, so I don't know what's up with that. But
yeah, man, going back to that NASCAR event, you know, even outside of just Austin Dillon winning the Daytona 500, Bubba Wallace, one of the, I don't think he's the first, but one of the first African-American drivers in NASCAR history, finished second in that race. Got pretty emotional after the race and his, you know, press, whatever you call that, post-race interview. So congratulations to Bubba Wallace. I know that's that's a big accomplishment and a big day for that sport, which is a predominantly white sport. So good on him and good on NASCAR. So, all right, man. Well, we got in 55 minutes worth of just bullshit. yeah, about that. But we will, again, like I said, right now we're in the bi-weekly mode. So we will be back not next Monday, but the following Monday. So for Birdland BS, I'm Fred.
And I'm Ryan.
We'll see you guys.
Something magic happens every time you go. You make the magic happen. The magic of Orioles baseball. When the game is close and the O's are hot, there's a thundering roar from 34 to give it all they got. And you never know who's gonna hear the call. Every game there's a different star. That's the magic of Orioles baseball.
Orioles magic, feel it happen. Orioles magic, feel it happen. O-R-I-O-L-E-S. Magic, 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 magic.
Something magic happens every time. Magic happens.